You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and Joe isn't here today because he has an important meeting. But I am joined with two awesome people. We have Karen Margolis.
Hi.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, you did.
Yay. And Larry Bea's back.
Larry.
Did I say your last name right?
Yes.
Thank God. All right. Killing it already. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about, should relationships always feel magical? And first of all, so Karen, you're in a relationship with Kurt Metzger.
Right. Anybody listening to this is going to know who that is.
I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
He has another podcast on this network called Race Wars.
Which I'm also on.
Yeah, you're on every one, right?
I'm great on that, yeah.
That's how and that's how I met you.
Right.
Was I was with Tim, Dave Weiss was on your guys' podcast talking about 9/11.
Yes.
So, and I just felt like I knew you, even though I didn't know you already. So, anyway, first of all, what I'd like to start off with is the reason why I picked this as one of my topics is Tim and I live together, and we've only lived together for about 3 months, but he gets in work mode, you know, where he loves reading. He just takes in information about, you know, the spiritual world, conspiracy, all that stuff. He's so interested. And yes. I admire that about him because he just wants more and more information. And he's a really smart dude. But I don't live like that. You know, I'm not always with my head in the book. So he'll work a lot of the day. And then as we were leaving, I said to him, I was like, I just, you know, I want to make sure that we do something magical together soon. You know, and he was just like, he puts up with me. So he's just like, okay, Kate, you pick something magical, we'll do it. But it did make me think about, you know, that feeling of that passion, that in love thing. Mm-hmm. How often are you supposed to feel that when you're in a long-term relationship? And you've been with Kurt for how long?
Like 7 years.
Okay, so tell us.
Last year. I think it's super unrealistic to expect things to be magical. I feel like that's why people get divorced. You should have solid reasons for being together in the first place. And if you do, magical's like a bonus, you know? Like, I feel like that's just a product of the novelty of being with a new person, and that's just going to wear off at a certain point. I don't see how it couldn't, you know?
But do you think there's a difference between, you know, losing the magic all the time and falling out of love?
Well, I think it depends on what you call magic. So if you mean like that new feeling of being really in love and obsessed with someone, no, I don't think that's sustainable. That's not like, that's not my relationship with Kurt. Like, we love each other very much, but that like newness and the like, you know, constant weird fooling around in public places and like that calms down after a while, you know?
Yeah.
But if you mean magic, like being really into each other still and not being bored at all, then yeah, that should keep going, I think. That, I mean, isn't that a kind of magical is a stupid word anyway, but
not to me.
Who invented that word magic?
Kate.
Yeah.
What are you into that?
Yeah,
something?
It's so stupid, right, guys?
Expelleramus.
I love all the Harry Potter movies. Obsessed. Because that's what I wanted to get to, though, because I think some couples should get divorced who just have fallen out of love, hate each other, fighting all the time. There's a difference between that and people who've just, you know, they work long jobs, they have kids. It's going to be hard when you're getting pooped on by your infant to feel completely in love, or, you know, you'll still feel in love, but that magic, that lust.
I believe everything is like you have pullbacks. I think that, like she said, like, and we all know when you first start dating somebody, oh my God, you're kissing in public places, you can't stop fondling each other, you're doing everything. But I think there's sustainability. I always think that to get something, you have to be good. To keep it, you have to be consistent. And I think that if you really want to keep something, like people have children, they want to consistently make sure their child feels good about themselves every day of their life. If you have a relationship, I think that that has to happen and you have to feel good about yourself. But you have to start with yourself feeling good first.
Yeah.
Because the minute you start dipping, the minute you start not working out and your serotonin level goes down and all these different things is happening inside your body that's making you really apathetic toward the world and you're not eating right, well, then you can't give that. Now you're just like sludging towards your partner and they're like, eh. And you're like, why you say, eh? And then, you know what I'm saying? I think that
you just described what happens, I think, a lot in my relationship. relationship. Where I'll be like, I'll have like a depressed day, and then I'll just look at him and be like, oh, what? You don't love me today? And I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. Yeah.
I do that too, though. But like, that's like kind of a needy girl thing that like, I mean, I admit it, whatever, but we all have our moments.
Yeah.
But I think there's a difference between hating each other and not being in love. Not being in love is a normal thing. Mm-hmm. How long, like being in love is this heightened level of excitement. How long, you can't
sustain
unless you're
that.
Just on drugs all the time. Right. How are you going to keep that going, you know?
And that's the truth. There's a pullback. Everything, in order to take it, you have to breathe in and out. You can't just keep taking air in your lungs.
Although we all wish we could.
We could, right. But at some point in time, you have to
breathe. Yeah, because life's about the positive and the negative. Right. It's a perfect balance, like a battery.
And right. I think that the best way, because a lot of people don't realize the best way to breathe, to take a full breath, is not to inhale, it's to push all that air out. And the reason why is because naturally your body is going to take all that air back in. It's a natural thing. But when you try to force something, like when you try to force being at that level of love or whatever, if you're at this level of, hey, I feel this way about you today, let ride with that. I guarantee you it's going to come back. But the minute you try to say, well, wait a minute, why don't you love me today like this? What you're going to do is start creating this counterbalance thing that's not supposed to happen. You know yin yang. You know balance. A lot of people.
It's one thing to know it in your head. Yeah. And it's another thing. Like I get very permanent. So when there's a low or a dip moment, I get like, well, this is how it is.
Yeah.
You know, I forget about the high from yesterday.
Well, how long have you guys been dating?
About 8-9 months. So it hasn't been.
It's still kind of new.
For you.
So you're not under contract
And it's not
yet.
That. Yeah, it's not. No, it's not that it's not, you know, magical or in lovey. It's just that when there are those days, because we live together.
Yeah.
So when he has a day where he wakes up, puts his headphones in, listens to a podcast and works, which is honestly, I look at him, I'm like, fuck yeah. You know, I've never met someone who's so interested in taking in so much knowledge.
Yeah.
But then the needy part of me is like, I didn't get enough hugs before he started that, you know? And it's like, well, you live together. He's not going to just, you know, every morning wake up, sing to you with a violin. You know,
and then
you
would get tired of that. Yeah. You would get tired. Because if he did, I guarantee you on that 11th day, you'd be like, okay, the violin again. Come on, motherfucker. You don't know guitar riffs, nothing. Do something. Because see, that's what happens. Like, I am like Tim, and I'm like Kurt a lot too, because I know Kurt. I don't know Tim, but I know Kurt. So I understand where we come from and the stuff. So I understand that mentality. And yes, you have to get in your own zone and do stuff. But now with this right here, like, I take in so much knowledge. I have 2 master's degrees. I always am always reading, whether it's conspiracy stuff. People call it conspiracy, but if it's just putting the facts together to say, this happened on this day, and this happened on this day, and this happened on this day, and it all points to these people, then to me, that's not a conspiracy. But to even know what's going on in the world, you have to do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So when Tim is doing that, he's trying to get all his information. So when he talks intelligently to people. People are like, oh, what, did you just come out with that through thin air? He's like, no. This is exactly what happened in 1974, and this is what happened in 86, and now we can put the pieces to the puzzle together. Now, that takes time. Meanwhile, you got a girlfriend over here. Yes, but see, when you were dating, before you started moving in together, maybe he was doing that, and then he put that down, and then came out of his thing, and then met you in a place, and y'all had dinner.
Well, no, he never put it down, but because we didn't live together, he'd be doing that separately.
Right.
You know what I mean? So so because I'm with him,
That's what I meant. Like, there's time that you, okay, I got to go on a date right now. Let me leave. Let me shower. Go out here. And then you see him how you see him. And none of that affects you. When you see behind the curtain again, you're like, oh, okay, this person farts. This person wears the hair up in a bun. This person, you know what I'm saying? Like, you see all those
You just exactly described my whole relationship.
I know.
Farting and me wearing my hair in a bun.
Exactly. And that's what happens. So we see
each other. And that's a relationship.
It is a relationship.
We see each other. Like, you have to use the best. My biggest rule, and I'm glad when I bought my house, I always have to have many bathrooms. Why?
Because
you know what I'm saying?
That's so smart.
You have to, because you may have to use the bathroom the same time I have to use the bathroom.
Also, like, everybody's gross but me, and I need my own bathroom to not be gross in.
Like, oh, yeah, it's like, that person's gross, but my stink isn't gross. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you look at. You say, well, okay, now I see behind the scenes of this person. You must still maintain the consistency of that, because what you said was, I'm going to let you pass this layer of me. I'm going to go past this layer of you. Now, when we get past those entrance levels, that's just the gate. Now we're in here. There's a lot to learn about you and discover. But if we stay at, you didn't hug me today. But I guarantee you, if you run and jump and give somebody a big hug, they can't deny that there's this person on top of me that I have to deal with. You see what I'm saying? And that's where the fun comes. It comes at different times and different ways. When people start getting in their heads about, you know, well, maybe because he said this, and why would she say that? And
I think girls do that so much more than guys. Yes. I don't want to generalize too much. But that's what I've come to see.
I feel like guys tend to take things on at face value, and then girls tend to ascribe meaning to stuff, and that's kind of dangerous because it means you're putting words in people's mouth, kind of. But I think a day without hugs is not good. That's not good for a relationship. You should be hugging every day.
You should be hugging. Yeah, I think that's true.
You should be affectionate every day. It's just, that's a sign, I think, of a healthy relationship that you still like each other.
Yeah.
Like liking and loving each other can be kind of two different things, you know? Sometimes I love my boyfriend but don't like him that much, you know what I mean? And like that passes,
but you still want to hug him, and you still want to hug, you still, I feel like it's natural to, if that's your boyfriend, to touch him today, to talk with him, to laugh, to smile, because it builds upon, you know, what y'all started. It's like can we keep this thing going? When you look at anything that was built over a long period of time, whether it could be Grand Central Station or it could be the Brooklyn Bridge, whatever, it may have started 10 years ago, but they still had that same goal for it to be done, open, and doing what it's doing today. But if you stop because, a worker got killed today, and we don't want that to happen, or something that we built has to be taken down now and be rebuilt. If you stop, then what you're saying, when that original vision that you had, you gave up on it. Mm-hmm. You didn't have energy to sustain it. And if because someone is really into their conspiracy or their football game or whatever, I think that what you really have to do is say, okay, I have to figure this out, because to me it's a chess game. It becomes a fun chess game, because that's how you keep, it's still a game.
Well, Tim will say to me, he'll be like, when I get in those modes, he'll be like, you know, why don't you think of it as a we, like, what can we do to get out of this place then? Because I get very victim-y accidentally, where I'm just like, you know, I guess maybe this isn't exactly what I wanted, or I just start spiraling into this like negativity thing, because I'm used to that from a kid. I had a messed up childhood. So I just get into this like spiral instead of being positive and being like, okay, right now, you know, we're having this moment, but, you know, we built this bridge. How can we fix this? How can we, you know?
You and I are so much alike. I'm such a victim spiral person, too.
That's probably why I felt like I was like, I just feel like I know you.
I'm like a fellow Jewish girl. She's going to know.
And I dated a Jewish girl, so I know. Like, my girlfriend's Jewish, so I definitely understand.
Do you guys live together, though?
Yes, we used to, but then now she moved with her sister because she has to deal with some things. I have... Mm-hmm. Whole different situation. I don't like living with people for a long period of time because I work so hard and I have to have, I'm Bruce Wayne sometimes. I have to go research. I have to go do this. And plus I party. I do, and you know, I got to have my parties away from her or whatever. But the thing is that I look at it and I go, why are you always finding the guilt? And I understand it. I totally get it. She takes me to synagogue. We do a lot of different things. So I understand culturally what it is. I'm not confused at it at all. And it's in a good place the majority of the times. But when you take something that's not there, create a scenario in your head, and then feel guilty about it, and then start letting that feed negativity about it. I'm like, whoa.
Well, Tim calls it a spiral, and he can feel it. He'll be like, oh, you're doing it. You're creating something. And I'm like, oh. But I'm actually, so I am very spiritual, and so is Tim. And I'm actually in the spiritual school thing where the first year they mean to do it. Your defense mechanisms start to come down because you're supposed to open yourself up. So I'm starting to see myself in a whole new light. And I'm like, oh, my God, I never realized I was so victim-y and that I could spiral. I just didn't see it.
Yeah.
So now I can see it. And I'm like, fuck, God, I do this all the time. And it's just a pattern, though, that I've created.
But that's like you looking to him, which is something external, to prop you up internally. And that's like, so you're always going to do that. And I'm the same way, unless you get your own shit together. That's the only solution to that. And that'll break people up, too. Because one can do that for you. It's like a black hole once you start doing that. And even validation kind of makes it worse. Like, it just gets sucked in and then expands the mass of this black hole. So you suck more stuff
in.
That
becomes
your
drug.
Right.
That becomes your drug. But at the same time, I will always say, to me, that's necessary in a relationship, that two people still feel that for each other, because that's the thing that binds you. To me, people be like, oh, that's needy. No, there is a sense of when you're not playing games, and you're okay with being a man or being a woman, you're like, I need that. I need to want to need you. I need you to want to need. Why? Because to me, it's in a healthy place. Right. Because without it, I may forget about you when I see this girl over here. And if I know, oh, I got you on my mind.
But there's such a delicate, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But there's also a delicate balance. Because if you're needy in what you're saying, looking for someone to fill the void, then that's just not, no one can fill that.
Right.
You know, so
that's exhausting for people too. Like everybody has some of that in them too, men and women both. So, and like everybody knows how it feels when you've got to be input all that validation into somebody. It's, it sucks.
Well, I want to ask you a question. Okay. So, so when you and Kurt fight, because I know I can do this, the thing that happens with me and Tim is I hate when we fight. He'll want to take space to calm down. I want to talk about it immediately. I get stomach aches. I'm just like, ah. So when he kind of closes off just to calm down, I feel like I'm in hell. That's like, so I literally just spiral and I get these stomach aches. And if it's like a whole night where he'll, and he'll be passed out, he'll be sleeping like a baby. You know, he'll wake up the next morning being like, hey, I'm over it. Whereas I just slept maybe an hour, you know, just spiraling. So I wanted to, did the same stuff happen to you?
It's the exact opposite with this. I need to calm down. I cannot resolve a fight when we're in the middle of a fight. I can't do it. I'm like, I hate people in the moment when I'm fighting with them. You know? Like, viciously hate them. And I just need to calm the fuck down. It's not like, it's not a thing where you actually changed into a monster because I don't, I'm angry. You know what I mean? And Kurt's exactly the opposite. It has to be, it has to be settled at that moment or he makes himself nuts. Well, it's funny. Our bedroom door is like shows all the dynamic of our relationship because he like I'll just we live in a small apartment, so I'll shut the door and go into the bedroom and try to calm down, so there's like a whole halfway punch through it from when he's on the other side and then and then from when he keeps flinging the door back open, you know, the like door the jam hinge. Part it, the, it's sounds almost like off me. Of it from me slamming the door shut again. It's like that's the exact the structure of our whole relationship,
and to me that's beautiful. That is beautiful because it's be- see because see that's what I'm saying. If you look at it through that's their thing. That like both of them tonight will be sleeping in that same place tonight.
But it's so painful. It's worse for me and Kurt because I know it because Tim, he can cut off and he can take that time.
I can too, yeah.
Oh, like I'm just like, it's so much easier to be that person because I'm now having the worst stomach ache just wanting to resolve it. And it's the worst because I'll probably do what Kurt does where I just keep like I'll give him like 5 minutes and I come back. And I'm like, blah, 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 blah.
He just turns it way up until I can't ignore it anymore. He just he gets so in my face. I mean, if you know Kurt, you know he's like, and he like the, some of his craziness is rubbed off on me too. So we just fight like vicious animals now. And like he'll just turn it up, and I'll be like calm, like deny, 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 and then eventually I just flip. Also, how
but then what happens? How does it end?
Maybe someone throws something.
Either
maybe someone curses someone out. It's so viciously. It ends how it ends.
It's always really dirty and nasty. And it's not
but
over
how
when
that,
it gets dirty. It gets it either ends when I cry, which is which I've called him out on, and because he for some reason historically in our whole relationship, when we've had a really bad thing, and then finally I go from sadness to anger back to sadness and cry, he just like snaps at. It's like waking somebody up out of a trance.
That's how I am.
It's
that's
infuriating though.
That's
it's
how
so
I
shitty.
Am.
That is
when
such
I
a
see,
shitty way to
I
be.
See her cry after all the whole turmoil and I go okay I get it, all right I get it, but see that's the whole thing. It's like you don't get it until you get it. You don't you could because when you're in the middle of that fight it's like no motherfucker I'm trying to tell you about this because this is what I'm calling
but let
you
me
on.
Say something let me say something and I'm curious
okay
does that I love the word abusive I know I use it way too much
I throw it around too
oh people do. Oh, that, oh my god
because if I were in that I know he doesn't mean it to be abusive I'm not saying he's abusive but I know if I were me I'd be like that
you've
feels
said
abusive
you said it
this, I get the
you've
same thing
said
I can't kick Kurt goes this is abuse and I go you just calling me like whatever you just said to me is clearly abuse if I recorded this on my phone played it to somebody they'd be like this is abuse you should get out of this relationship and he says no what you do freezing me out is abuse because I just got to sit there with my own thoughts it's
so,
exactly what
and that's
said.
What I'd say to Tim it's just so funny like sometimes in a relationship you feel like sometimes in my head I'm like wait you know is he being abusive right now and then I think about the things that I just said to him I'm like oh well that could have been abusive it's just so interesting in a relationship how things can have a tinge of abusiveness
but
to them
and when you are abusive by definition if you don't want to be abused don't be with somebody it's always abusive
yes because if If you,
now, there are levels. I feel like I have to say this to everyone.
Okay, I don't mean like getting a black, like that. Right. I'm not talking about actual domestic
abuse.
Or like
reamed out. Someone's yelling in your face, like, you're a piece of shit. You'll never find someone who loves you.
Yeah. We do
not
do that,
okay.
But, right,
okay.
And it's not okay. But, however, I feel like.
You whore.
It's like that. It's like you've read my mind, but. It's like you guys live there. But like a relationship is a kind of emotional abuse that you inflict on yourself.
Right.
Namely, like, first of all, loving someone is hard because they're going to try your patience, and yeah. Second of all, being loved, like you said, it's like it's an external thing, so it can come and go, and that's yeah. scary and hard.
Yeah,
and
I think when you love someone, it really it goes right to your insecurities. There's something yeah. about love; it opens you up, you become vulnerable. So it's hard.
I think it's like catching a cold or the flu. I think there are different times of it where it feels like I just caught it, and it has to run its course to get back to the level of sustaining or whatever, because I think that you could not ever just live there all the time and be functional. I think that you must go through ebb and flows. I think that you must go.
You can't live where? What do you mean, in that really vulnerable, that really, in love place?
Yeah, because I think that there are times that, like, you'll say, mm-hmm. I just don't like you today, but I love you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love, like you said, I love Kurt. I just don't want to talk to you right now.
There'll be like a reason, like there's garbage on the floor or there's like dirty dishes, like something like that. And I'm like, yeah. you can go fuck yourself right now. But I don't mean I don't love you. I just mean, like, I'm just going to be mad for a while. That's normal, right?
And then it all depends on where you're at. We're in New York City, the go fuck yourself capital of the world.
Right.
So people can't wait to say go fuck yourself, but then tell you how they're the victim of something.
Yeah.
That is New York City in a fucking nutshell. So then when you're dealing with someone in close quarters like that, I sometimes feel that everybody should sleep in a twin bed for a while, only because you have no place to escape. Like, you're right there with each other all through the
night. Well, sometimes, so we have like a queen size, which you think would be a decent size, but we need a king.
No, I got a king, yeah.
You need a king. Yeah, it's just, but, you know.
I think that what you have to do sometimes is put yourself in a place to where it's just you and that person. And I think that, like, when you stay in that place,
What cocaine is for, though, because that makes you feel very connected.
Right.
and
I've never done cocaine. Is that what it does?
Yes.
I mean, there's so many drugs that we'll talk about it.
Yeah, get her a list. Get her a list.
No, well, I mean, Tim's done his fair share of stuff, so he'll tell me about stuff. I'm just so, I guess it was like 3 weeks ago, I already told the audience about this. I took half of an edible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was spiraling through the cosmos, not in a fun way.
Really?
Yeah. I'm
because
so sensitive.
So
my body. Yeah. And it was very potent. And my body's so sensitive that,
you,
I mean,
lucky bitch.
I was seeing.
I wish.
I was seeing
you
things.
You want that ride.
No. I mean, maybe you would, because, you know, Mike Cannon, have you ever met Mike?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So he had done like a full one, had a blunt and like wine. He was chilling. He was just fine. And I was like, So yeah, I definitely, my tolerance is way lower.
Yeah. And I think that, like, when you look at like when you're looking at what fun is, like, I like going out of town. You know, we would go back to Princeton, where she's from, and do a lot of Princeton stuff. Or we would, you know, go to Tennessee. We'd do a lot of different things away from the city, away from what I do and what she does and everything like that. Only because it's like, let's discover the world again. Like you said, when you were talking about the guy who carved the caves on the last episode, like, we'll go to places like that and discover stuff. Go to the museum. Do things that doesn't focus the relationship on you two, but you two are now looking at something.
Yeah.
So y'all are sharing this moment together.
That's such a healthy way to do it. Me and Kurt just do it in the negative way, where we just focus hate on the same things. Like, we just hate all the same things.
Yeah.
We don't love all the same things, but I feel like a good relationship is hatred of similar things.
Right. Because, and if you look at, especially.
That's so funny, because sometimes I have a way less, my tolerance for things is way less than Tim's. So I'll come out and I'll be like, can you believe our roommate did blah, blah, blah. And he's like,
that's the best.
And he'll be like, who cares? And I know he's right. Like, I know it's just me being like a bitch and just in a mood. And I'm like, God damn it, Tim.
Shit,
can you stop being Buddha today?
Yeah. Talking shit is the cornerstone of our relationship.
It is. Because, think about it.
Of a good relationship.
Like, I've known you for the last 20 minutes. You seem like you could talk some shit. You see what I'm saying? Kurt clearly can talk some shit.
I mean, I know.
And that's what I'm saying.
It's so funny. We had a whole episode about not talking shit. And yeah. I really try not to. I've tried to not talk as much shit because it's not the best energy. But sometimes when you're in a mood, talking shit just feels so good. Yeah. And I try not to even talk shit sometimes about people. Sometimes I just want to talk shit about anything.
But if you do stand up, like that's also the essence of stand up is just relentlessly talking shit. And me and Kurt, like Kurt obviously like for way longer and more professionally than me, but we both do it. So what else are we going to do? It's like sex and jokes and hating things and food.
That's hysterical.
And then we got a dog, so there's that.
That's important, too. Sex, food, drugs if you want it, whatever. But you have to make sure. To me, it always has to start with sex for me. It always. Only because it's like, if you have that, then you're going to have the other things.
I don't know about that.
If you do,
no,
I'm telling
you. No, that's not true. No,
that wasn't true for me.
Well, here's what I'm saying.
All right.
You do fuck Kurt.
Of course
you
I do.
You do fuck Tim.
Yeah.
Without it.
These are deep points they're making.
Yes. There is deep points they're making. What I'm saying, without it, y'all wouldn't have the same relationships that y'all have with these people, and they wouldn't have the same relationships with you. They have relationships.
But we're not saying that sex isn't important.
That's all I'm saying.
Of course.
That's all I'm saying. But see, y'all jumped on it like the Jewish women do.
Oh, God. I feel like Larry's the host of this right now.
No. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I always put that as the cornerstone because that's when you know, no matter what, we do like each other. We do want to share ourselves with each other. And things can come up and be like, fuck you, and you should have said fuck you when I said fuck you, or now you're making me feel like the victim. But when that all clears, he's still there, you're still there, I'm still here, she's still there. And it's like, that's what you go for. You're like, damn, how do we get
relationships
that?
Are just so interesting.
Yeah.
I think you're saying two different things here, that like sex is important for connectedness. I agree. Like if I've been out of town or we've been, whatever reason, we've been busy or something and we just haven't been connecting like that, then you feel the difference. There's like a kind of distance, not because we don't like each other, but because we haven't been like together like that, you know?
Right.
But the relationship didn't start with sex. It just didn't. I was like really young when I met him and I had never had sex with anybody. I was this really nice Jewish girl at NYU, and like it just wasn't, you know, we weren't on the same page that way. So for me, it wasn't a sexual thing. It was really a friend thing. I liked him, and he talked to me like a person, and the sex just came later.
Well, you have to do. I think all of those are elements right there. Like I always think to tell people, like where you were at in your mind may not be where he was at in his mind. Because you see what I'm saying? Like, like we are hardwired for sex. Period.
That's okay, but there's stuff all of that us. That's all fine, but there's stuff in addition that's
all right. Essential. Hold on, I'm taking over with
but
Larry
that's my
right
whole
now.
Point. That's my whole point. My whole point is all of those elements. If I say sex,
yeah, but
is
we
one
never said, but we never said that sex isn't a hugely important element because if you
right.
have,
that's all
if
I'm
you
saying.
Have, of course. Yeah. But you were saying that if you have sex, everything else falls into place, and that's not
true. I fundamentally disagree with that.
Yeah.
Well, no. All I'm saying is this: you can fuck anybody, you can fuck a prostitute, and everything's not gonna fall into place. I'm saying inside of your relationship, that to me is a cornerstone. Things will still fall into
absolutely.
Place.
Corner,
but that's all,
sex is a cornerstone. You need to have sex
but
to have a healthy.
But I still think that the issue is getting a little bit confused. Like I've had, I had great sex, really like a well above average sex with somebody, and ended up not liking him. You know, like that didn't carry us through. I liked him initially, and then got to know him better, and I was like, no.
That's a whole different issue. Like that's an issue. I'm not even.
But
that's kind of
what
you
like
said.
No. I'm saying within your relationship. I'm saying within your own relationship that you have with Kurt and that you have with Tim. I'm not talking about hypotheticals that you guys aren't having right now. I'm saying within side of the relationship that you are actually having right now. Sex is a good cornerstone in your relationship.
Yeah, but that's not saying anything. Of course it is. It's a human thing.
Yeah.
No, but when the point was being made that y'all jumped on, that was the bigger point that I was making.
No, I think the listeners can go back to the part that you said, because it sounded like you were saying it did, right? It sounded
let's say where we're at, because what it sounded like, we'll rewind it later. But what I'm saying is, back to what I'm saying is, inside these relationships where we're talking about the spiraling and all this roller coaster punching through the walls and shit like that, that we've been talking about, because that helped build up my premise, only in the world that we were talking about. So when I spoke from everything that I heard and built my premise on, but there's still sex in this relationship.
You're saying you still, even with that kind of, when stuff can get crazy, you still need to have a reconnecting, and sex is one of the good ways to have that reconnection.
And that's just on me. Everybody don't have that. Everybody should not have to say, well, it happens the way Larry says it should happen. I'm saying for me, based on what I heard and what I know, that even when it goes wacky and all like that, sex is that cornerstone that keeps that connection together.
Okay, I want to hear what Karen was going to say.
What was I going to say? Well, first of all, nobody's saying this is what Larry says.
I'm saying that.
Nobody's standing there saying that. I'm just giving you a hard time. But I think that a good relationship doesn't evolve from sex. I agree that a good relationship involves sex, but it doesn't necessarily grow out of sex. Not necessarily. And plus, you know, people, I know people with shitty relationships who just hate fuck each other all the time. It's a cornerstone of a relationship, not necessarily the cornerstone of a great relationship.
I keep saying a cornerstone. I keep saying a cornerstone. And see, and that's, it's so funny because,
but you can have a shitty relationship with sex as the cornerstone of your horrible relationship.
Right.
Yeah, like it's what I know people too who do the hate sex kind of thing.
Right.
And I think, you know, maybe what you meant to say, maybe not, is if sex is absent, you know, the relationship, it can't be totally fulfilling and healthy.
Right.
Sex is a great healthy way to connect. If you're not having sex, you know, then it's a friendship, really. Yeah. You're living with your best friend.
Yeah.
Unless I guess you have, I always think about people who got into terrible accidents and stuff like that, what that must mean for the relationship, but that's a whole other.
But that's such an exceptional situation. Like, that's a whole other
thing. Don't go there. I'm like, what if he was shot in his dick?
But me and Kurt do talk about, we're like, what if my face got burned off? And this is a conversation we have all the time, like, because your face is important. So what if you're a burn face, right?
Okay.
And like, our is a good one. We were like, first of all, we'll stick together. Like, we're in this for the long haul.
Aw.
Yeah, and we'd like, we've been together for a long time, so we can get past a burnt face. Yeah. Like, the, you know, we always like want, like, re-up every once in a while to see where the boundary is of still fucking each other. Like,
that's
no
awesome.
Face Kurt, I would still hit that.
And see, that's
good for you. I would honestly, I don't know if Tim would believe me, but I would still fuck, you know, burnt face Tim. I don't know if he would fuck burnt face Kate.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, we're back to, would you fuck me if I had the burnt face? With all that other stuff that we could talk about and all the.
Yeah, but what about this? What? Okay, let's do this hypothetical since we're doing this stuff.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so suppose Kurt, you know, somehow got paralyzed from the waist down, okay, and his dick didn't work.
Okay.
So now you couldn't have sex with him. What do you think a couple can do there?
There's so much other stuff. Like, toys, there's bringing other people into it.
But would the guy get into it? Like, if the
Kurt is, we're both,
even without
both
a dick?
Pretty flexible. I mean, there's stuff you can do. I mean, does his face still work? Does he still have hands? You know, like, we can make it work in some way. That's fine.
You can make anything work.
You really can.
You have to be. You have
There's
to be
whole
that
stores
person.
For that.
Yeah, you have to be that person to make. Because I know people that'll just walk. They'd be like, no question. I'm not doing nothing. If this bitch fall down a flight of steps and she can't even walk, I'm not there anymore. If this person goes to jail, I'm not there anymore. If this person, but then there are people like, oh, hell yeah. It depends on where you're at.
Yeah, it depends on the situation. And that, the thing is, if suppose my face got burnt, I wouldn't want him to stay because he felt obligated. I'd want him to stay because he wanted to stay.
But there's also like levels of obligation. Like, we don't have kids. So if it were a matter of this isn't just my partner that I talk to and hang out with, but he needs to be a provider in some way also, and we got to raise these kids, maybe that would be an issue. I don't know. But that's not that my life's not like that.
Yeah.
So like, so that wouldn't be such a handicap for me, you know?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Kids makes it a whole other thing. But I, you know, I'm divorced and I have a kid.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I have an 8-year-old son who's amazing. Yeah.
Kate? Amazing. I didn't know that. I thought you were like 22.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I'm 33.
Now, she had him when she was 13.
No. Yeah, I wish. Yeah, you know, it caused a lot of controversy in my little town when I got pregnant at 13. Yeah, so, but even there, you know, leaving when you have a kid, leaving a marriage, you're already feeling guilty. So yeah, having a kid, there's a whole other sense of obligation. So if you're married and you have kids and then something horrible happens, the chances of staying are going to be higher when you have a family with that person.
That is so...
You're still looking at me like, she's a mom.
She's amazed. She's like, I cannot believe that you're not 22.
Well, I'm
and
like,
you
literally,
look 22.
I'm getting to know you now. Like, I felt like I knew you, but I didn't. So now all this like new stuff, you're like, I spiral. And I'm like, me too.
Yeah, no, my
sister's all
I'm
new.
A single mom. Yeah, me too? No.
Oh my God, my kid is 12.
Yeah, I've got joint custody of my 8-year-old son. And he's just, I mean, I talk about him all the time.
He's a stand-up comedian.
He's amazing. Well, he says he wants to be a musician, which I'm like, go do your thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because he'll still get to go on stage, but it's a little less self-deprecating.
Yeah.
So. I'm happy for him. And he has a voice of an angel. He's ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I said, and that's what I'm saying, relationships. Like, when you put time into relationships, like, you have a relationship with your son. That's commitment with beyond. That, like, that would go until he's...
That's true love. When you have a kid, that's true love. Because there's nothing there that could ever make me be like, you know what, Shane, you're just... I don't know. You're a lot to handle.
Right.
You broke your arm, and I don't know. It's a lot for mommy.
Right.
You know, when you have a kid, you are in it. That's your family. And I do know that there are married couples that do that, where they love each other, but they're also just family. They're in it. And I think that's the most beautiful, unconditional kind of love.
Well, it's really similar in my situation, because we have this dog, right? And
Every time the dog enters the picture, I'm always interested about couples that get the dog.
Well, it took us years. Yeah. We didn't just jump into this dog.
I remember
dog
when
thing.
Y'all got the dog.
You do?
Yes, I do. I
Larry
remember.
Knows everything about you, Karen.
Me and Kurt are friends, I'm telling you. And it's like, it's so funny that I've watched the whole progression since 2006 with Kurt, and it's always been fucking amazing, because I always thought he had a beautiful mind. Like, Kurt's mind is somewhere else. And when you see people, you know, you date this person, then they stop dating this person, then they date this person, it's like, oh, and this person's stuck for a while. And, oh, this person goes along for a while. Like, your relationship, 7 years.
Yeah.
My longest relationship, 6 years. Mm-hmm. So once you pass that 4-year, 5-year threshold, then you go into a different type of a relationship. You say, okay, we have to make it a break it point. It's like when I was in the military. There becomes a point in time you say, well, okay, either I'm going to make a career out of this, or I got to get out now. Mm-hmm. And once you get to that point, and even though you can get out at any time, you're saying, okay, we're committing at a different level. This is family now. Like
you're saying a dog's like family?
No, but a dog then becomes family. Yes, he does. He becomes part of the pack. You create.
Well, that's
that
why
pack
Tim and I
dog.
Just adopted kittens 2 months ago, and everyone was like, "Oh, whoa!"
Because it is a big step.
Yeah.
He doesn't like it when I'm like when I'll talk to the kitten, I'll be like, "Oh, you're dad." He'll just give me a look. I'm like, "All right, fine. You're not a dad."
Right. Oh my god. What I used to hate.
Do you?
I hate when I hear.
Yeah, but Kurt likes it.
It does?
Yeah, we do the daddy mommy thing a lot. It's not like a sexual thing, but it's, let me rewind.
That's the bedroom. That's in the bedroom.
It's a little bit sexual, but like, you know, we love the dog.
Yeah. And I'm not doing it in a way to be like, oh, like, I'm not doing it in like some creepy, I'm not even talking sexual. I'm not doing it in a creepy way where I'm like picturing him as a dad. You know, it's just like, we're their parents. When you have a pet, you become the parent.
You watch out for everything, because there'll always be that toddler. That pet will always be in that toddler mode. Because
sweet and stupid, how I like them.
You know, and you know, and it's like you always watch them. Like when you go outside, now you're looking around, you're protecting them, you're seeing who he plays with, making sure, and you get into that mode, and you're sharing that mode with that person.
And so, there's something so sweet about watching the person that you are with and that you love interact with this thing that you also love. It's really sweet, and like he loves the dog, and like him talking to the dog in a soothing tone is like the cutest thing. Yeah. It makes me like him more.
Yeah, and I think that's what happens, because. As opposed to when teenagers come along, when you have real children and teenagers come along, they're like,
a real
mom,
child.
You don't fucking understand, mom. You don't talk to your mother like that.
I hate you, mom. Where's Tim?
Exactly. I'm not going to be able to handle that. He's already starting to give a little bit of attitude, just like a tiny bit. He really is such a good kid.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I feel like with the karma I've accumulated, I should have had like a kid that was way worse.
Yeah.
But he's just really, so his attitude will just be like, I picked him up from aftercare and I was making some silly joke in front of the other kids. Oh, he couldn't get his arm through his jacket, so I started being like, no, your arm, it's got, like, making it like he just got amputated, because I thought that's hilarious.
Oh,
and he just looks at me and was like, mom, not here, please.
Not
just so embarrassed. And I was like, oh man. So that's not even attitude, but I just was like, fuck, my kid's getting older, I'm embarrassing
and
him.
And we're all old now too.
And
like,
that's
by the
what
way.
I like about life, because like the kids, my goal is always that forever young theme. Keeping the energy up, keeping the sustainability up, doing the things I like to do when I was a teenager, playing basketball. I still play basketball every day. I still try to fuck as much as I can. I still try to do everything as much as I can, only because hit the stage every single night. Do everything because you know that there are younger kids coming up from behind you. That threshold you pass when they go, you don't understand. When those little kids go, you don't understand. And that's when you become like that parent that can embarrass them. When before, Like, do you know how many times you were embarrassing to me, that little drool you had on your fucking chin or whatever? Like, but we got through that. But then they're like, oh, I just can't, mom. I just can't.
I get so funny with him. I'll be like, I'm funny. Your mom's a comedian. Do you know how lucky you are? And he's like, oh, what a dork. Like, for me to even say that, it's like, I'm trying to convince my son I'm funny.
It's like the Obama girls rolling their eyes behind their dad.
Yeah.
When he's trying to excuse a turkey from, you know, whatever the turkey's done.
And they're like, oh, my God.
I was so upset when they gave those girls, that one woman gave the girls a hard time for that, and I was like, fuck off. I forget the woman's name. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. When she wrote it, was a whole thing.
Somebody said she was a hoe or something.
I was like,
what was happening?
She did insult what they were wearing. She said something like, yeah, they're wearing inappropriate clothing, which is like, lady, back the fuck up.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, they're teenagers. They don't care that their dad's the president.
Right. It was the most endearing thing to watch them roll their eyes at their dad. Nobody, you don't care who your dad is. If your dad's the president or a comic.
It's just an
old
dude.
Stupid dad.
He's an old man. And like, your clique is your kid, the kids that you hang with. We all remember being in high school, and that's our clique. And parents were just so old. When we were like 16, 22 seemed so fucking old. Like, oh my God, he's 22. Oh, he's an old
person. You're a kid, you can't even imagine being the next year older. Like, I remember being 14 and not even imagining. I couldn't fathom what 15 would be like. And it's like very similar to 14, but it blew my mind that I'd even reach an age like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was 15, the thought of being 30, I was like, oh man, I'll be old.
Yeah.
And then you hit it and you're just like, oh, that's young. I'm good.
But you actually, but you asked that 15-year-old today that, oh.
You're old.
Because it's your perspective or whatever. And I think that, like the things that you did, like you had like, back to relationship, like you wanted relationships, you wanted these different things for your life. And I think that if you can maintain who you were then with that maturity that you have now, I just feel like those are the best relationships, man, because you're giving more of you. You're like, I'm not dying out. I'm going to give you joy. This shit is gonna be exciting. You're gonna go on a roller coaster ride for the rest of your life.
I think you just totally hit the nail on the head. It's not that you have to be in love all the time. That's not possible. It's not sustainable. Even just like whatever your brain chemistry is doing when you feel that high of being in love is not a thing that your body can sustain. But that's a kind of novelty. But you need that in your life, novel things.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily gonna be like, it could be like the reason why me and Kurt lasted is because we make each other laugh all the time. All the, like, really laugh.
Yes.
Where it takes you by surprise how funny it is. And he's really smart and great to talk to. And so he's always saying interesting shit. Mm-hmm. He's always reading about something new and bringing it to my attention.
Always.
And that's the novelty that carries. It's not boring and it's not old. Some of the behavior and whatever gets repetitive and old, but there's always something carrying it through forward with stuff I like.
That's awesome. That's beautiful.
The entire reason.
It reminds me of my relationship with comedy. Because, you know, when I first started, it was like, I have another show. Yes. This is so exciting. And then after you do it for like a couple years, it becomes a little less exciting, but you still love it. And that's what I had to realize lately. I was like, okay, some of these shows that I go to, especially road gigs, which I'm sure you've been on a ton road gigs with Kurt, but it's like some of them you just drive far and it's just like, some of the shows, it's just the audience. They're like, why is this girl talking about her vagina? You know?
Yeah.
And, but I'm like, no, I still love comedy. Sometimes there are dips in it where I don't want to go to the show and I'm annoyed by it. But overall, my love for it and my desire, my passion for it is going to keep this going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but there will be ups and downs with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for a while, I expected every show to be exciting.
And it's like that. Like, sometimes you want comedy more than it wants you. Yeah. And sometimes it's the other way around. You're like, I'm tired.
And it's tired of you. And then you have to, like, reinvent yourself. And I think that what you're into, because I was a big Phil Jackson fan as a coach, like him being a coach, because of the zen he used to bring to his team and that, like, the way that he used to talk to his team. Like, I think someone like you would really benefit from reading Phil Jackson's story.
Okay.
Based on the things that you're into, the spirituality. And I'm saying it as a good thing.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's how he used to talk to Michael Jordan's and the Kobe Bryant's and the Lakers and Shaquille. And that's why they became champions, because of the mindset that he put them in. And I think that when you put yourself in a certain mindset, I think it just totally...
You're right. Oh, yeah. I talked to Tim about it with the comedy thing. Because when I was like, is it bad that I don't want to go to some of these shows? And he was like, no, because he used to be a college football player. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I loved playing football, but that doesn't mean the hard work every day of training was fun.
Right.
But you do it. You're willing to put in the work because you love it. And it reminds me of the relationship thing. It's
a job is ultimately a job. And sometimes a relationship is a job also. But it's like there has to be something that carries you through. And just like with comedy and just like with dating, it's really unrealistic to expect it to always be good.
Yeah.
So if your interest wanes because it's not always good, then it wasn't really for you in the first place.
And I think my problem sometimes is when things get bad or has a dip, I forget the highs of it, the good, you know what I mean? And then I get so dramatic where I forget that there's a balance to it.
Because you can't remember, it's hard to remember an emotion, you know? You just feel what you feel. Yeah. You remember things that happen, but whatever I feel now is my whole reality, basically.
Yeah.
I'm like my dog, you know? Like, time has no meaning when somebody leaves the house, and
right.
A minute could be 5 hours.
One thing I realized about animals is that they're so... Because they don't talk, they watch everything. They watch when the sun go down. Mm. They know when things are going to happen at a certain period of time. Kurt is going to come in first, and then you'll come in second, you know. Or maybe the kittens know that you're going to get up first and go to the bathroom first. And see, they now learn the habits of all, and they're on a different time way. So now they're looking at, I hear these horns outside. That means rush hour traffic is happening. That means in a little bit, I'm going to see her come through this door. I've watched dogs and animals learn that stuff. When she comes in, she's going to put some food in my bowl right now and refresh my water right now. Like, it's because we are all a creature of habit. And I think that, like, sometimes we get into relationships and we're like, this person now has a habit of being away from me. Or this person has a habit of being too close to me, or we're watching the same program every single night. Hey, it's time to watch Numbers. Hey, it's time. You're like, oh my God.
So then I love Numbers.
Oh my God. That's a fucking smart
show. I like
the
three that's in E.
Yeah, the three
I
in
love
Numbers.
That.
Yeah, that's it. That's what used to get me is when they used to do the outtakes. So they'd be, like a shark in the pool. Next thing you know, they go into the 3D world of it. I was like, okay, it was good at the beginning. Now it's a bit much. But now what happens is that You keep reinventing. My thing is always saying, keep reinventing yourself. Don't stop there. Yes, I have you. Yes, you have me. But when we used to go to fairs and carnivals and get, apple cider and go apple picking and stuff like that, what is our today thing that we do like that? It may just be sitting there sketching, drawing, whatever like that. It may be taking a class in pottery. It may be doing something, but don't. Keep going forward. I'm always say the positive. Keep going forward and reinventing yourself, saying, how can I challenge myself now to be still interesting now to myself and to her?
Yeah. Plus, like, on a more mundane level, like, I think it's true when people say that people don't change, because people don't fundamentally change that much. As an adult, you are who you are. But habits do change. Mm-hmm. So you can change somebody's habit. Like, if that's honestly the work of a relationship. It's just that. It's altering not altering yourself. You shouldn't have to do that. But altering your little habits that you like, you know, doing things how you want, because it really bugs this other person. That's the work. That's the annoying bitch work of being in a relationship.
And I think, you know, compromise and communication is so important. And it has to be there because if you don't have that.
Because if someone is just so one way, and I can see where we all can get that way. I can see where all three of us can get that way. I can see where all the three of the people that we're talking about can get that way.
Well, we all have strong personalities.
Right.
We all date
have strong,
people
with strong
who have strong personalities.
Exactly. We date these assholes, so what are we supposed to do?
There are some assholes. I'm going to tell you that
now. I've realized I listened to my own podcast today. I listened to myself, and I'm like, man, I can be an asshole. Like, I'm like, you know, I have a lot of controlling things. And one of our fans tweeted at me and it stung for a second. And then I was like, she's so right. She wrote something like, love the podcast, but Kate, you got to let it go where it's going to go. And she literally wrote like, let it go, let it go. Yeah. And at first I was like, screw you. And then I was like, it's literally what I'm working on in life is just letting things go, dropping the control. And I'm like, man, all right. One of the things I got to work on. You know how you say people can't change, but I do think even just being aware of your stuff helps.
And that's the whole thing. Like, trying to be a cohesion, trying to make sure that you are part of, with anything, you have to be a part of the team. You want to be a part of it. Like, if it's in a relationship,
that's
I want to be a part of this team.
Sometimes I think I resist the team thing. I don't mean to,
why,
but there's
though? Like, but what do you mean by resist the team?
I have some kind of innate resistance to this team thing. It scares me. There's
Is it
something
because you have a kid, do you think? Like that you have your own team already?
Maybe. I think part of it could be the single mom thing and feeling like I have to be resourceful on my own. Yeah, I think being scared to let someone in, because then if they do go, I'll feel scared or just abandoned or something there. So, but that's, you know, a lot of the talks we have, it's like, yeah, I need to think of it more as a team, you know, and I'm more, yeah, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
But I'm working on it. It's just hard for me.
Well, so, me and Kurt have invested so much time in this relationship now, and so much, like, just so much shit, like a million arguments and like fucking a million times, like all the stuff that you put into a relationship. And so at this point, like, we're still not sick of it. And I'm like, I don't see being sick of you in the foreseeable future. And I see what happens to your future. Like, your future is kind of my future at this point. Like, what's good for you is good for me. And so that's like the essence of being on the same team.
You guys sound pretty solid. You know, this is the first time I've heard of your guys, you know, like what your relationship's like. And it actually, to me, sounds really good.
Well, we have Kurt a weird go this relationship. Long with someone, I was like, yo, this, it has to be real. It has to be fun. It has to be real, because this is Kurt Mexico.
People say that, but he's like, he does that. He's been in a lot of long, he's like only does long-term relationships.
But the quality of, he seems happy, he seems stable.
See, the best one.
Yeah, and I will say that. I will give
you. If you don't say so yourself.
Yeah, I will give you number one, you know. And I think that that's what's good about it. I think that, like, when I hear about you and Tim, I always think that Tim is number one for you. You know, who I have is number one for me, because we do pick well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we only want quality in our life.
Yeah. And Tim, one of the good things about him is he doesn't, which you were kind of saying before, when I do get into a mode, he won't pull me out of it. Like in a good way. He won't just say what I want to hear. Like I'm forced to deal with myself and to get myself out of it, which, you know, I have a very strong personality, so many of my exes were not able to stay strong. They're just like, all right, I'll say what I need to say to get her out of this.
That's what Kurt's saying. He doesn't blow smoke up my ass. He really doesn't. If I say something not funny, he'll ignore it. Like, just like if I'm hanging out with a comic and they say something not funny, I, like, what am I going to laugh at your stupid shit that's
like,
not good?
Hack.
Yeah.
But, like, he calls me out on bullshit like he would with any guy.
Anybody.
And I really, it's a very egalitarian relationship that
truthful,
we have.
Very truthful.
Like, if he treated me like a girl, like in a princess way, I would hate that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We always say we want them to just say what we want to hear, but if they did, we would,
we
wouldn't,
like,
even be interested.
Yeah. Sometimes I get mad. Well, yeah, no, you're right. But I get mad at him sometimes for being so honest. I'm like, no, that's what I wanted. That's why I'm here in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
It's like surfing the balance. It's finding that wave and surfing that balance. Sometimes you'll find it. Sometimes, and when you find that groove, I know when to say it, I know when not to say it. Then you find that balance. And sometimes you say it when it wasn't supposed to be said, and you crash. But you get back up.
Right.
We actually were going to wrap this stuff up. Thank you both so much for coming
Thank
on.
Thank you, because we got a show tonight.
Fun. Yeah, I'm actually driving, so we'll talk about that one.
Okay.
where can they find you, Larry?
Okay, LB Funny on Instagram, LB Funny. Also, you can find me on Twitter, Larry Beyah, B-E-Y-A-H, Larry Beyah, B-E-Y-A-H, and on Facebook, Larry Beyah. Let's do it, B-E-Y-A-H. And you can find me tonight. I'll be at the New York Comedy Club.
Very nice.
Where can they find you, Karen?
I'm mostly on Twitter. I've, like, divorced Facebook a little bit.
Yeah.
Good
and I don't
for
take
you.
Pictures like, oh, my family's on it. I'm not. It's too much.
It's for old people
I
now.
I have, like, grandparents. It is
for
old people
now.
It's
for old people now.
Once my dad discovered it, I'm like, all right, let's move on. But on Twitter, at Karen, that's K-E-R-E-N. It's Karen
K-E.
Margolis.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Karen Margolis on the Twitter.
And first of all, I know what you're saying, because I posted our podcast today. This one's going to be coming out in 2 weeks, but the one I had to do with cum. And I'm like, oh, my cousins are seeing this. You know, I'm like, and we talk about cum. And I want to be like, sorry, mom and dad.
How did we just skip over cum today?
I'm sorry. I pulled mine.
Yes, I would have loved that one.
You guys can find me at the Kate Wolf. You can email us invasionofprivacypodcast@gmail.com. And you can hit up me and Tim for a tarot and numerology reading. We just started a business, by the way. You know that.
I'm
you heard the last
one. Yeah, I'm getting in
So you can email me if you want us to read for you. All right. Bye.